So equipping your internal teams right from the get-go is extremely central to bringing the right impact of all the hard work that we do behind the launch. A go-to-team strategy before a go-to-market strategy of a release is extremely important.
Welcome to This is Product Marketing, brought to you by Product Marketing Hive, a product marketing community that gives back. In this episode, Anita Raj, Vice President of Product Marketing at Throughput, and Crispin Reed discuss product marketing and the product launch process. Let's dive into it right now.
So welcome to today's episode of This is Product Marketing. And today we have Anita Raj with us, who is Vice President of Product Marketing at Throughput. And Anita is a serial product marketer. She has at least 4 product marketing roles under her belt and is and has been a significant contributor to the product marketing community, with articles published on many platforms, including Product Marketing Hive, for which we are extremely grateful. So, Anita, welcome to This is Product Marketing.
Thank you, Crispin. Thanks for having me.
So perhaps we could start by asking you a little bit about your background and your story. How did you get into product marketing?
Sure, sounds good, Crispin. Well, thanks for having me on the Product Marketing Hive podcast today. I'm very excited to be here. Usually, product marketers are running the show behind the scenes, and I must say, it feels great and very different to be on the other side. So let's get started right into it. I'm an engineer turned marketer and kickstarted my career in product marketing right at the advent of 2 big technologies, cloud and big data, back in 2008 at EMC Corporation. My role actively back then involved evangelizing EMC's own cloud and big data story, how EMC was using these products and share some transformation results in terms of performance benefits, cost savings, and potential IT agility. As part of this whole process, I gained tremendous hands-on experience building and marketing some of EMC's world-renowned programs, such as EMC's own IT as a service, big data as a service, and EMC's journey to the private cloud. Personally, I've always enjoyed customer conversations, the process where customers are actively exploring a product in deeper contexts to understand what is their business case and the implementation needs and help them get more value out of the product. This is where I spent my early years of my career. But I was always fascinated with the entire exploratory phase, right? The human and marketing psychology to understand how products were built and how they were launched as well. That there's a whole madness and a whole lot of human psychology that comes into play. And being involved in that process of guiding customers until they made a purchase, right? So my engineering background tremendously helped me to understand the nuances behind complexity of technology and how you can kind of simplify the messaging and the value behind them. That's in a nutshell of how I got into product marketing back then.
So your transition was from engineering into marketing, which, and just thinking about that transition and the company you were working for, the background in engineering was useful to you because the people who you were selling to were also very technical, right?
That's correct. It was primarily addressed at an audience of IT professionals and an emerging professional role called as the data scientist back in 2008 or 2009, right? When this was just getting built up, I would say.
Yeah, that's interesting because I think that's the key to any transition into product marketing is to transition in from a perspective where you have empathy with the customer. You can understand the customer, you know their concerns, you know how they think. You can put yourself in their shoes. And so in that context, having an engineering background was key. Although people often ask, you know, do I have to be an engineer? And some people even ask, do I have to be a programmer to do product marketing? Are you a programmer?
I used to be, but then I quickly gravitated into the entire customer-facing aspect of engineering development, where we tried to set up the teams in a structure where we had one customer-facing team and one of it was the development team. So fortunately, I happened to be in the customer-facing side, and that kind of tremendously helped me understand some of the hidden aspects in my personality as well of what I really enjoy. And how I could complement it with what I could
do at work. Yeah. And I used to be a developer too, but I think that this idea of being able to empathize with the customer is important. So as you transition in a company that sells quite technical products, the engineering background is useful. But you know, many companies do product marketing, and their products are not technical at all.
Absolutely.
And they're you know, their audiences are not engineers. And so being able to empathize with them, you know, you might be just as, you know, just if you're selling marketing software, you might be better off having a marketing background. Anyway, what advice would you give to people who are thinking about transitioning into product marketing?
I think essentially it boils down to four main things, I would say. One, you have to be very collaborative. You have to be ready to bring everyone together. The barriers typically that are associated in the process of messaging, doing product launches, bringing all the different stakeholders from different types of customer-facing teams pretty much lies on the shoulders of a product marketer, right? So for anyone to be successful in product marketing, collaboration is key. You have to be able to persuade and kind of really pull people along to make sure that they are aligning towards this common vision. Number two, I would say, would be to be able to prioritize effectively. You have to be able to make it happen with effective and transparent and timely communication. You have to be able to showcase what's the vision that the product marketing team is running with and what are some of the tactical and strategic elements that everyone is going to contribute at different timestamps based on the product release lifecycle. Third, I think this is something that's very contextual in today's world where all of us, whether we are product marketers or not, are dealing with a lot of information overload, right? So I think one of the key things that product marketers, when they're focusing on their different efforts, they have to make sure that they're consistent in disseminating information. And what I mean by that is bombing your teams with all the information at one go may not be the best of the ideas. Instead, you have to be able to try to drip information to teams continuously to keep them on top of the release and keep them on top of their minds about what is it that you're educating them with. And last but not the least, I would say that for anyone who is a newbie or an expert in product marketing, subscribe to Product Marketing Hive. We all need to stay on top of changes and continuously upgrade ourselves. Product Marketing Hive offers great insights, right from positioning frameworks to methodologies to templates you can run with from get-go. So this would be my four pieces of advice to people who are looking to transition into product marketing.
That's awesome and very, really good advice. and thank you for the kind words about Product Marketing Hive. And yeah, I mean, this is key, right? Being able to prioritize and communicate. One of the things that you've talked about in one of your articles, which I think is quite important, is this idea that product marketing isn't inherently well defined, right? I mean, you've written a definition of product marketing. You give your definition. Other folks give theirs, and they can all somehow simultaneously be, all of them can be right and all of them can be wrong kind of at the same time, because the product marketing role is sort of inherently ambiguous and depends very much on the company. Can you talk a little bit about this idea of the role ambiguity?
Sure. I think over the course of time, product marketing has dramatically transitioned from a role that delivers a message to drive sales to one that truly creates, nurtures, and tweaks a brand's image, right? To kind of achieve the right level of push from a business objectives standpoint, including how to really foster customer engagement and craft powerful product experiences, right? So the role overall has been increasingly assuming multifunctional responsibilities, right? While this gives a wide canvas of opportunity, which pretty much can be adapted with different strokes, right, from product maturity to team setups and business objectives, I think what most people need to be able to really synthesize when they are trying to get into a new role, or for example, even trying to understand how do we drive more maturity in the product marketing function within an existing company, you have to be able to understand why are you required or why is product marketing required in this company. In my experience, I feel that this is often a very gray area where companies either throw too much at you or don't know where to effectively utilize product marketing, or sometimes even have inherent understanding or biases about what is product marketing, right? So, which effectively means that you owe this to yourself. What is the value of product marketing for a company? And do you fit in this grand scheme of things, given your career aspirations and given your strengths, and where do you want to see yourself down the line, right? So I would say it's a good balance between your strengths, your aspirations, and the company fit. From a career success standpoint, I think there are like three key aspects, right? So one is you have to be able to understand the why. And what I mean by that is product marketing is just not about understanding what product the end user wants, right? It is more about helping them decipher it to leverage it for the ideal outcomes. Now, the outcomes can be defined by different companies differently depending on what their maturity looks like. But inherently, you have to be able to be deeply empathetic, right? You have to be able to associate yourself, like, what is it in it for the customer? You have to be able to be customer-centric. You have to be incredibly curious to ask the right questions, right? Oftentimes, what happens is people in the product marketing space are given with a product roadmap, and they say that we are launching X item in at Q1 or Y item at Q2, and you're expected to come up with an interesting messaging or a launch spin. But fundamentally, you need to understand that why are we coming up with these aspects? And that ultimately boils down to what are the key jobs to be done within this release that we are working for, right? And working backwards from there to understand, is this really going to resonate in the market? And why? Why did we develop this feature? Why does a user care about this? What are the 2 to 3 main jobs a user will do? Why are we better than our competition? So don't settle for feature descriptions and demand the right ingredients to build the right messaging. So that's number one. What I mean by saying is understanding the why for each of these aspects. Number two, I think you should build your product marketing plan, right? Product marketing is really one of those complex roles that requires a smooth traversal between strategic to tactical. And while I would say that you may be hired for a strategic role, there are times that people will often expect you to do a lot of tactical things, which you may not like, right? So striking a balance between how much of an output as an individual or as a team leader you can provide, and if this is the value that the company needs the most, is something that you need to be able to balance in your plan and present it to the different stakeholders and align yourself on. And I think one of the most underrated aspects is about the feedback loop. We often tend to work very closely with product managers, but kind of miss out on working deeper with customer-facing teams, right? It's key to build a close relationship with sales and all the different stakeholders and the customer-facing teams to be able to optimize your messaging. And we all know this, right? That messaging and positioning is not a done deal. It's an continuously evolving and iterative process where you need to optimize it based on field insights. I would say those would be the three main things that people should try to figure to evaluate and then build the right definition for what is the definition of product marketing for the company that they get it.
So to what extent do you believe that product marketers can sort of shape their own roles? How malleable do you find product marketing roles to be in the real world? Are they... Because every company probably has some idea of what they want to have in the role going into it. Have you found yourself able to shape the role sort of to your liking at times? Or, you know, so how much sort of input do you think that the product marketer themselves can have on the definition of the role versus the company imposing it on them?
I think that's a very tricky question to answer. I would say that probably the product marketer can have around 40% of a ratio in terms of how they can shape, in terms of what they would like to achieve as part of the role. The remaining 60% is really dependent on what the company wants to accomplish through them, right? And a lot of it is also dependent on the different team setups, I would say. So whether you're part of which team, what is the maturity of the product, what is the phase in which the product is working, are they really into an expansion mode? A lot of those different aspects come into the play. So I think the larger chunk of the piece in terms of who owns the definition or the formation of the role pretty much lies in the hands of the companies, I would say.
Still 40%. I mean, if it was 40% number, that's quite a high number. I've never been an accountant, but I'd imagine that probably there's not the 40% of the scope of their jobs is probably not something that they would define. I don't know. So I think it's interesting because that creates growth opportunities, I think, for people in product marketing roles, where if they're thinking about their next career steps, then they can shape their role, at least to some extent. It might be 40%, it might be 20%, but at least they can shape their roles to some extent in a way that sort of works both for the company, but also for them and for what they hope to do next in their careers. That's one of the interesting things about the role, I think.
Yes.
So let's talk a little bit more about product releases. So you started to talk a little bit about some of the sort of first things that you need to think about in as you put together a release, the sort of the why are we doing this? And of course, you know, irrespective of the ambiguity around the product marketing role, pretty much everybody agrees at least that product launch is in product marketing. I can probably think of, if I try hard enough, I can probably think of an exception, but I'd say at least 80% of the time or 90% of the time, people do agree that product marketing sort of runs the product launch. And you've described a product launch as organized chaos, where the chaos part is probably the easiest bit to achieve. The organization might be a little bit more difficult. Can you talk a bit more about that? You talked about the notion of understanding why we're doing stuff, which is important. Is every product release the same? I mean, how do you sort of think about it from a process point of view? Do you build a process for launching all of your products? Do you categorize them into different levels of, I don't know, importance or tiers or priority? How do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And I think from a product marketing standpoint, the way at least I look at it is, how can you build scalable processes, right? So for example, if you're doing 10 releases in a year, for example, I'm saying, it's really not scalable that you will be able to kind of come up with something that's custom built for every release, right? So then it makes more sense for you to kind of really work backwards and say that, what is the best way in which I can structure this release program? And what are some of the ambiguities that can go wide for stakeholders in terms of what's going to come with what kind of a combination? I think in that sense, I usually like to segment the releases into tiers based on some sort of a prioritization order. But that's not to say that that's the only way to do it. But I'm just sharing my examples of over the years what I have been doing and what has worked well for me. So typically, if I look on the scale of priority, a tier one represents your major releases. Mostly tier one is kind of a collection of new capabilities that is expected to attract new customers or is pretty high on the scale of innovation that you will be delivering on the product side, right? Tier two is typically more of a feature upgrade, which is mostly focused on addressing the feedbacks or, let's say, some of the requirements that existing customers have been consistently placing to customer success or the engineering team, and to address also some known feature gaps. And at tier three, I would say, would be your internal sprint releases that typically ensure that you're balancing your product pretty well in terms of lifecycle management, some market changes, some upgrades, and maybe keeping in touch with the competition. That's how I would like to typically structure it. In addition to that, for each of these tiers, we try to put together like what's the intensity of an effort and a planning that we need to do. Like, for example, for a tier one, I would like to do the full breadth because it happens to be on a tier one level. So I would like to do a video. I would like to do a demo. I would like to do a press release. I would like to do a blog. I would like to do even put together a data sheet and a solution brief. Whereas for a tier two, I may not be so interested in then putting together a video and a demo as well, but probably a blog that outlines how it works and what's the value prop is sufficient. That's how I would do it.
So you kind of in an ideal world, at least you would document all of this ahead of time, I assume, so that in a company you'd be then looking at the roadmap, looking at what's coming down, and then you'd be sitting with, I don't know, with product management or sales or other marketing, other people, and saying, okay, so let's agree this is a tier one, this is a tier two, this is a tier three. Is that sort of how you would plan it out? And then they would understand what those tiers meant.
That's correct. So I think typically when you're beginning a new role in a company, you would ideally work very closely with your primary stakeholder, which in most cases happens to be the product manager, right? So you would work with them, try to understand how are we categorizing them. I think the field-facing teams as such are not really interested in the categorization. What they're really more interested in is in terms of the kind of different artifacts or the materials or the enablement things that they can be expected to have. So that whenever we are pushing out an official public launch or a press release or doing a big event to kind of make some noise in the market, how can they be prepared to address existing questions from existing customers, right? So that's what they want to be able to be prepared about. So I would say addressing the definitions in terms of how we'll be tiering the releases is something that product managers have a good stake in. So involving them and trying to work with their roadmap in terms of building your own product marketing release roadmap, because your product marketing release roadmap is what your customer-facing teams care about more. Because you know that whenever product marketing pushes things out, it's things that are going from a public standpoint, from a customer standpoint, from media and an analyst standpoint, right? So they want to be prepared more in terms of at what points in time can they expect which materials.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a really good best practice that you've outlined about having tiered product releases. I've seen that applied quite a few times in different places, and I think it's kind of the only way to be able to wrap your head around all of this stuff that's coming, and to be able to just say very firmly, or at least discuss at least what's important, what's less important, what gets what sort of level of support. Otherwise, you end up with people having expectations that won't be met, and so on. So it's a very good way to manage things internally, and it's a very good way to manage limited resources. You talked about the importance of prioritization in product marketing, which is absolutely key, because I mean there's never been any product marketing team that has enough resource to do everything they could possibly do. It simply has never existed, nor should it ever have existed, because there's a kind of an endless amount of work that you could do, right? So you have to draw the line at some point. I think this is a really good approach for doing that. How do you think about once you've done a product launch and you look back on it and you say, okay, that was a fantastic success, or you look at another one and say, well, we could have achieved more there. What is success in a product launch? How do you know how to sort of look back and say, yes, that was fantastic, that was a great launch, or maybe it wasn't? How do you sort of work that out?
Yeah, I think it's a very tricky area to kind of generalize what success could look like, but there is no secret formula to what is success definition going to be also like, right? And this is something that comes with experience, something that you learn over the years in terms of things that actually work and things that actually don't work, right? So in my experience, what I have actually realized is most of the times, most of the product marketers in general are laser focused and heads down trying to prepare for the product press release that needs to go out, the slideware that we need to have, presenting it to analysts or showcasing it to different stakeholders, etc. But somewhere in the process, I think there is not enough emphasis that's done in terms of the entire internal enablement process that needs to happen, right? While we do some sort of a quick, right now there is Corona and everyone's kind of operating remote, so we all kind of take advantage of the remote setup a little bit and try to set up like a one simple go-to meeting or a Zoom webinar right before the launch and expect the field teams to be able to absorb and be able to field the questions left, right. But I fundamentally think that one of the commonest mistakes that kind of takes away the real impact of your success is not preparing enough for your customer-facing teams about the new offering or the product release, right? We put all our energies into building high-quality materials, which is all external-facing, but the internal enablement is often undervalued, I feel. So equipping your internal teams right from the get-go in terms of how they can deliver the right value and the right value proposition is extremely central to bringing the right impact of all the hard work that we do behind the launch. So I think a go-to team strategy before a go-to market strategy of a release is extremely important. And if people can kind of balance the two and not get lost in the process, I think that's what makes a huge difference in terms of the sales being able to actually capture all the amazing market awareness about the product that you're creating with all these amazing materials.
Gosh, yeah, I couldn't agree more with that. It's such a fundamental piece, isn't it? The sales enablement. And for some reason, which I still haven't quite understood, some companies really don't do it well at all. It's almost an afterthought. And I've been in roles where, I almost sort of look at the different product marketing situations I've seen closely myself and sort of put them into two buckets. There's the bucket where where the sales team, the customer facing teams are well informed. They know what's coming. They know everything about the products, and they still have their frustrations and their complaints and everything else, but they fundamentally know what's going on.
Right.
And then there's another whole category where they just don't. They actually don't. And you know, when I've sort of looked at that and analyzed it, and I remember I was speaking to Dave Kellogg about this, because I went back and I did a little bit of work with Dave Kellogg in one of his companies not that long ago, and I noticed that he still had this process in place that he'd had, you know, years and years and years before when I'd been working for him, which was a quarterly sales update, he called it. And every quarter he got the sales team together, face-to-face, actually. Obviously, this was not, you know, during the pandemic, but got everyone face-to-face and spent a day with them and just took them through everything. And, you know, whatever other issues they had there, the sales team, the customer-facing teams, they all knew what was going on. And I can contrast that with other roles I've had, which I probably shouldn't name the companies, where, and especially very large companies, where the sales team didn't know what was going on, because, you know, I remember having a conversation once with the, I guess it was the sales, it was a huge company, the sales education department or something. And I said, look, I just need some time with these guys about once a quarter. I need about a day a quarter. I said, well, you can't have that. That's impossible. I said, but why? I want to tell them about our products. Said, no, they don't have time. We can't take them out of the field for that much time. But I said, but you take them out of the field all the time.
Right.
You're constantly taking them out of the field. You're training them on all sorts of things. You take them out of the field to train them on, you know, compliance regulations and on, you know, sales processes. And they say, yes, exactly. They're out of the field far too much. You can't have their time. So the only thing they weren't allowed to know was anything about the products they were selling. It's absolutely key, the whole sales enablement piece. I'm very glad that you point that out, because without it, there's kind of, in the end, without it, there's nothing, right? Because this is one of the key channels for customers to get to understand the products. And if the customer-facing teams don't know, how can they tell anyone else?
Absolutely. And that's also a kind of a very tricky area, I would say, right? So at least in the big companies that we typically end up working in, I think you do have some sort of a sales education or a sales enablement kind of a team. And then there is also a product marketing team. Then the tricky question becomes, like, you know, where do you draw the guardrails? Like, where do you draw the lines? Like, what is the effort that's required from product marketing, or how much of an enablement would be driven by the sales and so forth? So I think it really depends on the kind of different mix and skills that, and how complex the products are, to be able to really decide that even if we have a sales enablement team, maybe from a product standpoint, it's best done by the product marketing, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I think they should at least be involved. They don't have to run the process, you know, I guess. But at least to have some agenda time does, certainly seems to me, I might be too old-fashioned about this, but it seems very, very important. But there's, in large companies, there's many conflicting things. They want to do management training, leadership training. They want to do training about how to do their jobs better, like, you know, sales process training. And sometimes, you know, the actual product information gets squeezed out, which is sad. Well, I think that we've probably going to be coming up to our time quite soon. So I wanted to ask you for some closing thoughts, and perhaps ask you what final piece of advice would you give to a product marketer who's heading into an important product launch?
Yeah, I think in terms of the closing notes, what I would like to say is you have to be extremely mindful of this new era that we are all entering in 2021, right? The COVID-19 crisis has resulted in long-term societal and business impacts across the globe, right? To respond to this, almost every organization has changed the way it operates, and product marketing is definitely not going to be any different to the sweeping changes and potential impacts. So you must reevaluate what are the buying priorities in the new normal and the new buyer's journey due to the seismic shifts caused by the pandemic. You have to reevaluate what are the ways in which a buyer's job to be done changes in the new normal, right? So you have to kind of really prepare yourself for potentially different exploration strategies to help your buyer evaluate key alternatives and what are the possible trade-offs that they should have to quantify the cost benefit of your product. So I think those would be my two key recommendations of what they should be really considering before every product launch.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. And I would just like to encourage listeners to head over and take a look at some of Anita's articles. She's written a couple of really good articles recently, which are published on Product Marketing Hive. You can find Product Marketing Hive at PMMHive.com or productmarketinghive.com if you like typing. So check out Anita's articles. And then there are other resources as well on Product Marketing Hive. Everything is free. So you can join our Slack community. There's some free training on positioning and messaging and templates to download. So anyway, Anita, thank you so much for joining us today on this podcast. It's been a real pleasure, and I'm very grateful for your contribution to the community.
Thank you so much, Crispin. I enjoyed it thoroughly. Thank you. Bye bye.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning into This Is Product Marketing, brought to you by Product Marketing Hive, a product marketing community that gives back. Check out our website, productmarketinghive.com, to join our community, meet fellow product marketers, and access free resources, including training, playbooks, templates, and events. If you enjoyed our podcast, please subscribe and give a 5-star rating on the platform of your choice. See you next time.